Hello, hello, my dear audience. I'm Peter Resnick, and welcome to the Dr. Peter Resnick's Toolbox. Once again, I apologize for not being able to do the show last week. And we aired my talk from 2 years ago on the subject of jealousy, I believe. And it is because last Tuesday was the first day of Passover, during which we do not use electronics or drive cars. Well, this Tuesday you are getting a whole new show. I want to talk about the subject we started a while ago, the emotional meaning of different organs and the meaning of the disorders of the organs. We covered so far the heart and the lungs, I believe. Maybe we started just a little talking about the liver, and I don't believe we ever finished it. I'm not sure if, and you're welcome, if I do not speak about heart and lungs, and you cannot find me talking about these subjects in archives, please let me know, and I will go over heart and lungs as well. I also want to share with you some of my observations on life in America these days, and I want to respond to some emails. But this is a pre-recorded show as well, I have to say. I'm recording it today, Thursday, because I know that today, Tuesday, when you are listening to me, once again, I cannot be in the live show because, coincidentally, it is the last day of the Passover, and again, I cannot do any work. No wonder, you know, ancient Greeks and ancient Romans called Hebrews the lazy nation because there were so many holidays. And yet, I think that we do fine observing all the holidays and not working on Saturdays. And the proof to it, by the way, there are actually 11 different shopping malls in Israel, and you know it's the most secular society you can find. And 10 out of 11 are actually, you know, open on Saturday. Only one is closed observing Shabbat. And guess which one makes the most money? You guessed. That one, which observes Shabbat. How they do it, I don't know. Okay. But now I'm talking to you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm talking to you now, thinking that you're listening to me on Tuesday, 2 p.m. So right now, on Thursday, and then on Tuesday, 2 p.m., I will be with you. I will have you in my mind, and I'm really looking forward to getting your feedback and or your questions. I want to start this show with a show and tell, as I usually do, but with something that I already shared with you a couple of months ago. And I found on my Facebook, someone posted a quote by a wonderful, wonderful American poet, Maya Angelou. I found it a while ago, and I read to the quote, and I will read it to you now. People will forget what you did. People will forget what you said, but they will never forget how you made them feel. And I remember maybe a couple of months ago, I read it to you, and I said, I loved it, and I still like this quote, but the other day I found again the same quote. Somebody probably reposted it, and I thought about it again, and I have some more thoughts about it that I wanted to share with you. Yes, you may feel a certain way as a result of what people say. But what feelings you have is not a result of what they say. but a result of how you interpret what they say. And then again, as Angelo said, you may not forget that. I just want to emphasize that the way you feel depends on your outlook, your interpretation of what they say. Many years ago, and I'm not sure if I remember telling the story to someone, but I don't know if I said it to you, ladies and gentlemen. Something happened, and I still remember it, many years ago. I probably was in the fourth or maybe fifth grade. And I had some kind of an argument with the boy, and he had red hair. And for some reason, in Ukraine, they don't make fun of people with red hair, but they call them red hair, like Rizhi, like red hair. And it's not said usually with positivity in the voice. So it's like almost like mocking somebody. Look at you. Like if somebody had, I don't know, was bald at a young age, and they would say, you bald head. So and I remember, and probably this boy had intelligent parents who knew that some kids who are not that smart as I was, would want to tease him. Now, I didn't want to tease him, but I remember, look at so many years, I remember now it's been 55 years ago probably, that I've been telling this story to many people, just to give an example. I remember there was some kind of a quarrel between him and I, and probably I had nothing better to say, because when you try to offend someone, it means you run out of steam, you run out of smart things to say. So he said something to me. I could not find anything better. And I said to him, you, ты, рыжий, which means you, redhead. And he was prepared. And he looked at me and said, yes, I have red hair. And you have black hair. Isn't it interesting? And somebody has blonde hair. And I was totally shocked, because I expected him to respond a certain way. Just like many people who try to offend us, they expect a certain predictable outcome, which means they say jump, and we jump. And I said to him, jump, and he said, I choose not to. He just turned it into a conversation. I remember now still that I was not only shocked, I had nothing to say. Later on, we were in the same team, soccer team, we became friends, and I was always a little bit ashamed that I said this word, and I was always thinking how smart he was that he turned it around. We never discussed, you know, we were kids, so I didn't feel confident or comfortable bringing it up. But that's the story. So what people say to us, we can listen to and decide how we want to respond. Most of the time, and this I said, ladies and gentlemen, to you many times, never make someone's story your story. If somebody is angry, if somebody is offensive, whatever they say tells you and everyone something about them. It has nothing to do with you. They were this way before you. They will be this way after you. So it's your choice how you want to respond. Most of the time, I simply recommend just walk away, say nothing, or change the subject, or ask a question if you have a question. Disregard what they say if they are offensive in any way. And that's my show and tell. Now, I want to respond to someone's email. I will not say the name because I'm not sure that she would want me to say it. But here is the email. And I hope the writer and those who listen may benefit from it. because some people find themselves in similar situation. Hello, Dr. Resnick. I just listened to your show from yesterday in which you talked about letting go. Yeah, remember I spoke like 3 weeks ago about letting go. Sometimes I feel you are truly talking directly to me and what I'm experiencing in my life. I have been having a hard time letting go of a long-distance relationship after 1 year. I ended the relationship 2 months ago, mainly because of his suspicious mind and lack of trusting me, regardless of my total commitment to him and the relationship. At the time, I was afraid living with such a man long term. I was afraid that wouldn't be good for me, knowing my own personality. I would have bent myself in order to make him happy and keep the peace. At the same time, after a couple of weeks, I started missing his attention and expressions of love. Love that I received during our calls and his visits, hoping and waiting him to come back and wanting us to go back together as he had done a couple of times during the year we were together. I assume that he broke away from the relationship. However, she continues, even though he has contacted me, it seems he has moved on and perhaps already met someone. Dr. Resnick, I'm intelligent enough to understand this was clearly not the best man or relationship for me long term, and find my longing to have it back is needy and unhealthy. I'm still struggling with letting go of him and the past. Close the door and look forward to the new doors to open. I'm going to listen to the show again and do the exercise as well. Oh, it means I gave an exercise of letting go. Any other words of wisdom from you would mean the world to me. And that's all. That's the email. Well, my dear friend, I see two red flags in what you wrote regarding this relationship. Number one, and let me scroll down. I have the letter here. Let me read this part, what you wrote again. Hoping and wanting him to come back and wanting us to get back together as he had done a couple of times during the year we were together. However, even though he has contacted me, it seems he has moved on and perhaps already met someone. So if this relationship broke up several times, if from what I understand, and please correct me, I'm going to write another email, but I understood that he broke the relationship, that there was no commitment. Or even if you broke the relationship, then there was no commitment on your part. If you feel he really moved on, that definitely was not love. You don't just snap out of one love and snap into another love. So this was not a relationship of commitment. It's a relationship of maybe fun. You enjoyed his attention. You enjoyed good words, his company when he was there. But there was no commitment because it was going in and out. One, how do you call it? 1 foot out of the door. The second thing that is a red flag, and that's why I feel, my friend, I feel that you are very wise that you ended this relationship. The big concern is that you wrote he was suspicious, not trusting. Suspicion always comes from one's own impulse. And indeed, you are writing here, it seems he has moved and perhaps already met someone. more than likely, I'm sorry to say, or I'm not sorry to say, actually, because it's good that you ended this relationship, because he was, while being in the relationship, he was thinking about other possible options. How do I know? The impulse, when it's there is suspicion, when a person doesn't trust you, it means he's not trustworthy. If he suspects you, it means he is not loyal himself. I have to tell you something. In my personal life story, it was maybe a year after I met my teacher Colette and her student, Gerald Epstein, who became my mentor. So I was, 36 years old. And I remember dating, that did not last a long time, but I started dating a young woman, and I shared with Jerry, and I introduced her to Jerry. And then it kind of was a little weird. She was so jealous. I remember, you know, she had like very thick spectacles. So she did not see very well. One time I was looking at a collie, a dog, sitting on a bench. But to her it looked like, you know, just long hair, probably. And she said, what, you want me to introduce you to her? That's how jealous she was. Well, on any occasion, if I would look, we went, that's how we ended the relationship very quickly. But maybe not quickly enough. Maybe I was like telling myself, oh, I need to, I'm Mr. Psychologist. I have to know how to deal with it. And also I was, you know, not just attracted to her physically. So it was not love, but, you know, more lust. But anyway, she was, I remember we went to the theater, you know, and I was looking at the actors. I was looking at characters on the stage. And then she suddenly says, what, you want to go behind the curtains? You want to meet that woman? I said, what woman? The woman you were staring at on the stage. So something was not right. And I said, you know, why don't we go and talk to my mentor? And you can tell him, you know, because you feel that I am constantly looking, you're saying, at other women. So she said, yes, he's your mentor, he should know. So we go to him, and of course, I don't say a word. I let her talk. And she goes, you know, I think that Peter, you know, I don't know what you know about him, but he really is looking all over, you know, at his age, at 36, I would think that he is more secure. And by the way, she was a beautiful, beautiful woman. And suddenly, I did not expect this. You know, I was a beginner student of Colette and Jerry. So as he let her talk maybe for, I don't know, 10 minutes, saying all these things about me, how I was, that I was, like she would say, not loyal, staring at other women. And I knew that's not me. I was so attracted to her. And I would not, even if I wouldn't be attracted, once I walk with a woman, I wouldn't be looking at another woman, because I learned it from young age. Because one time I walked with my sister, and I was like 16 years old or 17 years old. And my sister made the comment, because I looked at some girl, and my sister said, that's inappropriate. I mean, my sister is older, 5 years older. That's inappropriate. I said, why? I looked at the girl. You're my sister. And she said, yes, but other people don't know, and they will see, they see you walking with a woman and staring at other women. You're disrespecting me. Wow, that was a big lesson. So I really did not look at other women, I know. And so Jerry let her talk for maybe 10 minutes and then suddenly interrupted her, said, excuse me, to her, have you been thinking about another man or other men? And she says, why are you asking me? I'm talking about him. And he said, no, I want to know. Look in my eyes and say that you haven't, or you have? And she said, well, yes, I have been thinking, you know, I was comparing Peter and with the other guy that I parted, and we were together for a year, ta-ta-ta. But why are you asking about me? And Jerry said then, and I am telling you, young lady who wrote this email, whatever comes from a person is their own impulse. If they accuse you being angry, it's their own anger. If they accuse you being not faithful, it means deep inside they're not faithful. If they say you're not trustworthy, more than likely, they're not trustworthy. There is something they hold back. So that's my answer to you. And since you wrote that you have been doing the exercise, I probably gave the exercise of letting go of relationships. So you can do that. Continue doing that exercise. Somebody is listening and did not hear that exercise, I'm not going to repeat the same exercise, but I will give you another exercise. It's a very simple exercise. You see yourself and that person walking together to the river of life, which flows from your right to your left. And there is a boat on the bank of the river. You thank the person that you are saying goodbye to for all the good things that this person brought in your life, and now say goodbye. Escort the person into the boat and push the boat and see the boat being taken by the river. Watch the boat slowly become smaller till it disappears around the bank. Then open your eyes. And from this time on, anytime you think about that person, just for a split second, close your eyes and see the boat disappear the moment it turns around the bank. That's it. Okay. One more little thing. My friend Gary, remember the man who keeps me updated on all the important stuff I need to know? Gary sent me an interview, a link to the interview that Alison Steinberg did with Dr. Peter McCullough. It's on Rumble. Peter McCullough, you probably know him, the world-known cardiologist and epidemiologist, and he speaks beautifully about COVID, and I don't want to go into details. I just wanted you to know that this video or, yeah, it's a video exists. You go on YouTube and you write Alison Steinberg with Dr. Peter McCullough. You will get a lot of interesting information, I believe. So because, and Dr. McCullough says that World Health Association is not to be trusted because they followed the same narrative, even though so about vaccination, even though so much information has come now about the dangers of vaccination. And I have to say, it's so sad that so many people know, you know, people know, have the information, and those people who were disseminating information pro-vaccine, who were saying vaccine, if you take a vaccine, 100% you will not get COVID. They never apologized. Like, if you know Rachel Maddow, I think she worked for MSNBC. I actually, the reason I remember is because I don't watch CNBC, but I remember visiting grandparents of my children, and the grandfather loves Rachel Maddow. And I myself heard her say, if you do vaccine, you will not get COVID, period. Trust me. And it was all not true. And how come that she did not speak up? She did not say, I am sorry. I don't know. Do you remember there was a guy, Dan Rather, an anchor man at CBS. He left the anchor desk in 2005 following the document controversy in which he presented unauthenticated documents in the news report on President George Bush and on Bush's Vietnam War era service in the National Guard. He continued working till 2006 and then abruptly was fired. But now this Rachel Maddow spoke about people's health. Not only she was not fired, she keeps talking and never even apologized. Nobody acknowledged that it was a lie. It was not true. And so many people with confidence were saying, and nobody, I never heard anybody saying, I am sorry. Okay, I will leave it alone now. One more thing I want to say, and then we go to the meaning of the organs. 2 weeks ago, Jeff from Maine called, referring to my talk on freedom of choice. And he spoke about the people in Gaza. And I could hear his pain. He's a good man. That was what I always loved about American people. They're kind and caring people. But you see all these protesters, you see all these protests which are happening right now in cities around America. So, ladies and gentlemen, I would like you to consider something. By the way, I cannot give you the source, but it's a very reputable source from the government, from one of the branches in the government, from a person who works for it. I want you to know that the sponsorship, the money that went into Black Lives Matter and these marches, Free Palestine, come from the same source. The same source. I want you to consider something, ladies and gentlemen. As I told you, one of my sources for news is BBC. Here is what I read on BBC site. 1 million Muslims out of 10 million who live in China, which means 10%, 1 out of 10, are placed by the Chinese government into re-education camps. Women in the camps are systematically raped. Muslim children are taken away and from their families and placed in special schools for re-education designed to erase their ethnic identity and to instill loyalty to the Chinese government. Here is another piece of information from Sudan, Africa. Ethnic violence by a paramilitary rapid support force. They call it RSF. And also allied Arab militia in Sudan killed 15,000 black citizens and displaced more than 8 million. Where are the protesters protesting against ethnic cleansing? Here is a reputable source, the Reuters. You all know about Reuters. It reported that the regime of Bashar al-Assad, the president of Syria, killed more than 300,000 citizens, still killing, including, I repeat, 300,000. I actually saw in other sources stating 450, but I go for just not to overdo. Modest, 300,000 of its own citizens, including 29,000 children. 15,275 people died from torture. About 14 million people, half of Syria's population, have fled their homes? Where are the activists? Where are the protesters? I know American people are thoughtful, caring, charitable, honest people. That's what I love about America. When I see anything that happens in the world, any trouble, Americans are the first to help. So I ask you an honest question. Ask yourself, where are the protesters against Assad? And if there aren't, why? Last week, I spoke about Exodus, yes? Leaving the Egypt, coming out of slavery. It's not only, and I remember mentioning it, it's not only a one-time event in the history of a small group of people, 3,380 years ago, but it's a universal symbol of becoming free of all the impulses, attachments, ignorance, habitual following someone else's drums, someone else's indoctrination. Someone, not one, but an influential group of people want you, want all of us to see the world the way they want us to see it. To scream about some events and totally ignore others. They are educated people. They know the truth. But they want you to believe in the story that they tell you. It serves their purpose. Just like the COVID, with its fear, social distancing, isolation, served their purpose. That's my piece about this situation. And the news that come from the Middle East are all tailored. Very, very few sources that are honest. But I find, by the way, even though BBC is kind of leaning lefty, but they are more or less, I would say, 75%, 80% truthful. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, now we go back to answering an email from, I remember, Loretta. Loretta, in which she asked me to talk about the intelligence of the body and the emotional meaning of different organs. As I said, we covered heart and lungs. I believe we started liver, but I'm not sure we ever ended, so we finished. So I will start with the liver and keep going. The liver is a detoxifying organ. You can call it a purification or garbage processing factory. And what happens when there is too much garbage? You know, the factory breaks down, or the machine, if it's a what they have now, chopping machines that chop trees and so on. If too much, machine breaks. So the imbalance of the liver is connected. It's interesting that both Eastern and Western traditional medicine connect the imbalance of the disorder within the liver as an imbalance in emotional life, being expressed as anger, resentment, strong negative emotions. I would like to give you, wrote here for myself to give you an exercise. I don't believe I ever gave it to you. The exercise of cleansing the liver. What happens is when you do it in the mind, the body, and you heard me speak many times about it, the body catches the idea of cleansing and it finds its own way. But you need to send a message. And the messages are received. Our body listens to us through the language called an image. So those of you who want to participate, close your eyes. Say to yourself mentally, I'm doing this exercise with an intention to cleanse my liver. And now think or imagine going to your personal garbage processing factory and do any way it comes. See what state the factory is in. See if there are things, events, or feelings which have not been processed and are clogging the cleaning process, the cleansing process. Identify what they are and make a decision about what you want to do with them. Do what you need to do to restore the work of the factory. Remember, in the world where you are, everything is possible. Bring the factory to a perfect order so that it works without interruption. Ready to receive more. When ready, breathe out one time and open your eyes. Now let me talk about the kidneys. You know what kidneys do. They remove wastes and extra fluids from your body. The kidneys also remove acid that is produced by the cells of your body and maintain a healthy balance of water, salt, and minerals in your blood. The kidneys symbolize a purification, balance, and processing of your inner life, processing of your feelings. The kidneys are connected with fear, stress, and the ability to release toxins and emotional burdens. It's interesting because according to Eastern traditional medicine, kidneys are connected, and problems with kidneys are connected with fear. And in Western tradition, they're connected with will. But you can actually make a link. When a person is in fear, his or her will is paralyzed. So the imbalance, of course, of kidneys produces, as I said, fear, anxiety, physically, a person may develop urinary tract infections. A person may live in indecision because they're afraid to make mistakes. Most of the time, if a person lives in fear, they may have difficulties not only making decisions, but interacting with other people, speaking their mind, taking care of themselves. They may have sleep problems because they're anxious and their mind doesn't stop. So the mind is racing. So I give you the exercise for dealing with kidneys, cleansing your kidneys. Close your eyes and say to yourself mentally, I'm doing this exercise to keep my kidneys in perfect shape. See two glasses of water. See them being pure. And you look through each first through the right one, through the then through the left one. And notice if there are any spots, any particles, anything that does not belong in crystal clear water. Notice if there is anything, and using your will and imagination, find a way to take out the impurity. Now see a big container that is empty. It can be a vase, a jar, and now pour this pure crystal water from one glass and from another into this jar. And see the jar glowing now as the two waters came together, creating an aura of white light. See that white light spreading through the whole body, starting with your reproductive organs, your urinary tract, your whole urinary system. White light is spreading, going up, lighting up your intestines, your heart, and when it reaches your heart, the heart glows with the beautiful green light. See the white light going up. And when it reaches your throat, the throat is glowing with the beautiful blue light. See it moving up. When it reaches your head, it's glowing with the beautiful purple light. Now look down and see the kidneys, reproductive organs, are glowing with orange, and where the reproductive organs are connecting with your legs, see a beautiful red color. Now look up and down. You see red turning into orange, turning into gold around your abdomen, turning into green around your heart, turning into blue around your throat, and turning into purple around your head. See all these six colors vibrating. Breathe out one time, and now see yourself dancing and jumping and running, feeling healthy and invigorated. When ready, open your eyes. This is a long exercise. Usually exercises are not that long, but because it involves will and also fear, we needed to balance all of your endocrine system, which is in Hinduism, they look in Ayurveda, they are chakras. So our endocrine system is connected with chakras. So when you do this exercise, if you do it for 7 days, you will find you will have much more energy and be much more stable. So, I wanted to start talking about digestive system, but I don't think that we'll have time. So I will have to wrap up, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank you for being with me. I know you will be, now today is Tuesday for you. I'm looking forward to getting your feedback. My email is Peter. Oops, I'm sorry. a car got stuck probably on the street. Peter18 Reznik, R-E-Z-N-I-K, @gmail.com. Thank you for being with me today. Looking forward to having your attention next Tuesday at 2 p.m. Be happy. Peace to all who want to live in peace. Adelante, get up to the beat, adelante to the beat, ay, segumba, come and be.